We kick off hour three of the program. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the official credit union of 3NOUT. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. You can become a member. They've been helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward for the last 85 years right here in East Tennessee, and they'd love for you to be a member as well. TVACreditUnion.com for more information, or just walk into one of their over 30 branches in East Tennessee and tell them you heard about them right here on Fan Run Radio and 3NOUT. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the official credit union of 3NOUT. So moving on from basketball, of course, we'll cycle back to that and get you set for the weekend. Big matchup with Kansas, College Game Day. The whole thing's a mess now, which it's great for us on the radio. And, of course, it's I don't think this can be a bad thing for Tennessee. I mean, I guess if you somehow could tell the future in an alternate reality where Kansas didn't get in a fight and Tennessee was just going to shock the world and beat them at full strength, I mean, that's the only thing that's now off the table. But that seemed pretty unlikely, so now you might be able to beat them at half strength or less than or whatever. So whatever.
That, I just want to win. I'll take it however I can get it.
So that makes sense. But there's other good news kind of surrounding Tennessee athletics. It's been the great quarterback debate of 2019. Harrison Bailey. Shots were fired early as rivals had him much higher ranked than 24/7 Sports. And now Rivals has finally, after teasing it for months, taken the plunge and given Tennessee's newest signal caller the fifth star. And not Hearts. I mean, like, the real legit, like, five-star player on the field. I mean, he led his team to the state championship.
And then dominated that Champions of Champions game. I think that's the one he got hurt in where he had 400 yards by halftime. Not bad. Obviously, like, the star itself matters not. Like, he's as good as he is if he's one star or five. But it's a good honor for him, I guess, just to be, you know. It is weird to me that he has done really well in the regular season when he hasn't been hurt, but it was the playoff run that got him the fifth star. So his team being really good, and I mean, obviously he played well, but he always had played well. It was just weird that they kind of admitted, like, yeah, seeing him in the playoffs and winning the state championship and then what he did in Las Vegas, like, that's what really put it over the top. I mean, I guess obviously game film matters and being a winner matters. It just seems like he was, again, showing kind of the same amount of talent he had possessed until that point. Mm-hmm. But because of the fifth star, he becomes Tennessee's highest-rated quarterback since James Banks, who was a five-star out of Indianapolis. Someone did show me, I think it was Rivals at the time, had Casey Clawson as a five-star.
Okay.
But he was the fourth-rated pro-style quarterback, and I think Bailey's like three or something. Mm. So Harrison Bailey now.
Bailey's two.
He's the number two pro-style.
According to Rivals, yeah.
So, again, according to Rivals, in the history of quarterback rankings, this is the best quarterback ever signed at the University of Tennessee. They didn't rank players quite the same way when guys like Peyton Manning and Brandon Stewart were coming in, but obviously those would have been highly rated players as well. But now it's official, like, Jeremy Pruitt has signed the best quarterback in the history of Tennessee football. On paper. Just like we all thought.
It's incredible. 24/7, just to give you some comparison, has Harrison Bailey as the eighth best quarterback overall. And
he's the number four pro style.
The fourth best pro style quarterback.
According to 24/7, he is the 20th ranked player in the state of Georgia, and he's the 7th ranked player in the state according to Rivals.
I can't even. Rivals doesn't even have their position rankings, like, up for the class anymore. It's I don't know what's wrong with their deal.
30th in the nation for Rivals, 176th for 247.
Does 24/7 have one more re-ranking?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
So there's a
chance.
It'll
be after signing day at some point.
Because this is the final one for Rivals, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, they're done now?
I'm not sure. They might be.
I think I read that Rivals, like, this is the final one.
If not, there's only one other one left.
Surely to goodness, 24/7 bumps them up a little bit, too. This discrepancy between the two sites, well, really ESPN, too, because they had them fairly low.
247 Composite, he's currently the 125th player in the country.
And he's 30th overall on Rivals?
Yes.
Man. I have no idea how there can be such a gap. It was kind of like that with Khalil McKenzie, though. Was it Rivals had Khalil like 80th in the country, and then Scout had him number one, 24/7, I think, had him pretty high, but something Rivals like wasn't. They just weren't sold on him for whatever reason. I know you've talked about this. I mean, there is a lot of politics involved. You know, he goes to the Rivals 5-star challenge. Maybe he didn't go to the 24/7 camps. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's a politic only thing. I mean, if you are going to the Rivals camps and those guys can see you more and you form a relationship, like, it's kind of, yeah, they see us more, but we also know him a little bit better. So, yeah, I buy that.
Yeah, ESPN has him as the 244th player in the country. So 30th on Rivals, 5th or 7th.
I do not recall this much of a gap for any player.
So
this is wild.
Rivals 30, 247, 176th, and ESPN 244th. His composite comes out at 125.
Wow.
All righty.
Looks like Rivals has – I was just able to find a Rivals top 100. So Bryce Young is ranked the second best player according to Rivals. He's a dual threat quarterback going to Alabama out of Santa Ana, California. And then the next best dual threat guy is 99th overall, Luke Doty going to South Carolina, dual threat. So obviously all the pro style guys are in between those two. So really, if you look at it that way, Harrison Bailey, according to Rivals, overall is the third best quarterback in the country behind the kid going to Clemson, who's the number one pro style, DJ Uiagalelei, and then Harrison Bailey comes in next. So the Alabama guy and the Clemson guy are the only ones that got a better quarterback, according to Rivals, in this class than you did at Tennessee, which, I mean, even if you aren't that high on him, like for where Tennessee's program is, and especially where it's been, because quarterback recruiting there's lag time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you typically are locking down your quarterback kind of 2 years after you've shown the evidence that you'll be good for that particular player. You got to call this just a recruiting, like, I mean, just coup. I mean, for Tennessee to land a top five quarterback when their program at the point where you have to start recruiting these guys was, I don't know, 60th? 80th in the country. I mean, obviously Tennessee has more pedigree than other schools at that level historically, but still. I mean, didn't Harrison Bailey commit without an offensive coordinator?
He did.
Maybe they knew, hey, we're getting Big Jim.
It was way before he was announced, though.
It was not public knowledge at the time of who the OC was going to be.
Wasn't even close. So,
I'm sure they told him, hey, we're going to get you a good one. But he didn't know.
Well, there's some scuttle that, like, you know, Jim Chaney wasn't even sold on Harrison Bailey to Georgia. So, but, you know, I don't know. Those things can change. I mean, obviously, Harrison Bailey's shown a lot even since he's committed to Tennessee, and that's why he's moved up the board. So you got to credit Tennessee's coaches for identifying him early, getting him to commit, and then holding on to him even after the rough start this year.
With the re-ranking of the Rivals players, this moves Tennessee up to tied eighth.
With Michigan?
Michigan, yeah. I think they were
9.
So, okay, this just moves up one, or to being tied.
It's pretty good. I mean, top.
Might not be done yet either.
Top 10, is that? At the top?
It's weird, though, because you're tied for 8th in the country, which is actually 6th in the SEC. But, yeah, I mean, it. At that point,
I mean, you're right there.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Right? Like, yeah, being top 10 is kind of the goal. Like, you should be there every year. Not to mention, you know, D. Beckwith is still on the board, 4-star athlete, probably going to play tight end. And there's, I don't know when Moose is going or if he is already in Texas talking to Zachary Evans, but there's a late talk that Tennessee has emerged as a legitimate contender to get Zachary Evans, the running back out of Houston, who at one point was the 24/7 number one player in the country. And then I don't know if they bumped him down a little bit because of some off-the-field stuff, but that would obviously be huge. Go get a five-star running back. Go get a guy who can come in and play tight end with what you've already done in this class. And as Davey mentioned, you're sitting at eight. Yeah, you get another four-star, another five-star, and maybe another player or two in general, and you're probably going to be talking about a top-five class.
Yeah,
I didn't see that coming.
No, it's and especially with that, with the start to the season, because it felt like that. You know, we talk about how results, singular results on the field, don't necessarily impact recruiting, but kind of the whole ball of wax does. And it felt like when you compounded the Georgia State loss with the BYU one, that might send things in the wrong direction. And it's been pretty good for Tennessee to salvage it the way they have. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. It's hour three, Wednesday edition of Three and Out. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Yeah, family of sponsors about to blow up here in 2020. Lots of fun stuff.
I'm about to blow up after I eat all that chocolate. I'm not stopping until I can't eat no more.
Yeah. It's right around the corner, Valentine's Day. Yep.
What are you going to give me?
Well, might as well go ahead and talk about it. The good people of Bradley's and the Knoxville Chocolate Company swung by. So don't buy your Valentine's stuff yet. We got some great sponsored stuff coming up with those guys as we get you all set for middle of February. And of course, we have signing day. We're talking recruiting coming up on February the 5th. I don't know if we'll get any early Valentine's surprises here on the recruiting front. But I feel like one of my buddies said it best. Jeremy Pruitt. He's like the master of post-signing day, transfers and, moving around the board. And then this Zachary Evans stuff's weird. I mean, it reminds me of the Bryce Thompson thing. I feel like Jeremy Pruitt's a no-stone-unturned type of guy.
Yeah, and I feel like at this point you kind of have to be. Look, I don't know why. I'm sure you saw this. The number one quarterback in 2021, the Vandegrift kid, he committed to Georgia yesterday after decommitting from Oklahoma.
Yeah, it sucks.
Told you last week he was going to Georgia. I didn't want to say it out loud. I was hoping maybe if I didn't say it on the radio, it wouldn't happen. But he commits to Georgia.
Like, why? Why would you go to that?
Because the bags are heavy, man. Like,
maybe
that's,
there's time to.
No, it's just like that's
else.
The thing. It's. No, I mean, he's a quarterback. They commit early, and they usually don't flip. I know he already flipped once. It's actually kind of weird.
He's supposed to be just...
He's really good, and he's from Georgia, and it makes me sick. It's just, I don't know, like, Georgia's almost, like, too overt right now. Doesn't it seem like? Like they're recruiting a little too well.
Okay.
So, and there's always, social media rumblings and rumors that that they're not exactly being smart.
Right.
With how they're going about persuading some of their recruits.
Oh, that was a media member, and I kind of jokingly talked about some other school cheating or something, and they was like, well, they better keep up with Georgia.
Yeah, like, it's,
I think he was serious.
It's a joke, but it's almost become... It's like the joke you make because it's real, not because, they're cheating. No, it's like, yeah, they're just cheating. So I guess if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you're not going to just be out there, handing out hundreds to everybody, Odell Beckham style. You got to be a little different, which is why, the Bryce Thompson thing, obviously earlier this season we had the issue, but for the most part, it seems like that's been a decision that I think the good has outweighed the bad. But, a kid like Zachary Evans, I think it's probably the same thing. You go, you talk to him, you recruit him a little bit, you think, okay. I mean, what does Clay Travis always say, right? If your talent outweighs your problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jeremy Pruitt's a strong-minded coach. I think he's got a good handle on his team. I mean, 14 players for Georgia were suspended or sat out the bowl game. Tennessee had one player sit out a half because the SEC told him to. And that was the Gator Bowl. I don't know. It seems like Georgia's had a lot of transfers and maybe some behind-the-scenes issues, Pruitt hadn't really been the case. Maybe that's part of it. You promise these kids the moon, and then they get to Georgia, and it's just not what they signed up for.
Well, and maybe one of the best examples of Jeremy Pruitt kind of reclaiming a player that had been cast aside is Juwan Jennings. I mean, yeah. Everybody
who is apparently lighting it up at the Reese's Senior Bowl this week.
Mm-hmm.
They've been showing some of his clips. It's been ridiculous. He's been kind of roasting some of the defensive backs down there in one-on-ones, which is not surprising. The guy's a monster in one-on-one. But all of a sudden, the NFL scouts are saying, oh, wait a minute. This guy's actually really, really good. He's not just big and happened to be a good receiver for a bad team. But no, that reclamation project, right? I mean, he was kicked off the team. Brady Hoke and the gang said, we don't want you around. And then Jeremy Pruitt comes in, talks to him, sets the standard, I guess, laid out his list of things he had to do to get back with the team, and he did it. And again, talk about a guy whose talent outweighs his problems. He's been kind of the model citizen since that incident, with the exception of, I guess, the little thing with Vanderbilt, if you want to call that an incident.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, that.
I mean, you can make the case both ways, but I didn't see that as an issue.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be too, and this is a slightly different, situation. But it used to be, I felt like the really good teams in college football, like, never really messed with transfers, never. Like, they just recruited their guys, got them in early, got them on their weight program.
Even JUCO. Like, there were a lot of schools like, oh, we don't deal with JUCO.
It's like, oh, we might take a couple when I first take over the program, but then, right. like the way to build this thing is with our guys as true freshmen all the way through. They're in our program. We teach them our culture that, you know, no transfers and hardly any JUCOs. And now, with this latest round of the college football playoff having, you know, like, Joe Burrow, who went to Ohio State and then was the best quarterback, maybe the best quarterback season of all time, you know, with a grass is greener situation. I felt like Justin Fields was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa go through that deal at Alabama, Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence situation at Clemson. Like, it's just...
It's different now.
It's a different world.
Like, transferring is not... And, look, I'm not saying it's good or bad for the game. Everyone's got their opinions, right? Like, everyone talks about, oh, it's a free agency now or whatever. But, I mean, you're seeing that just because a kid doesn't pan out somewhere doesn't mean he can't go somewhere else and be a superstar. Like, Joe Burrow was not going to play for Ohio State. Jalen Hurts was not going to play for Alabama if Tua had, you know, been healthy. Justin Fields was not going to play at Georgia this year. And then they all go and they lead their team to the playoff. Like, I'm with you. Like, it's weird, but transferring now, and maybe it's because it's become more common. It's a little bit easier to do it,
mm-hmm.
but you're seeing that, man, maybe giving guys the opportunity to change the scenery, I mean, there's less guys that are just getting covered up and kind of lost forever. I mean, you wonder if this had been the case for the last 20, 30 years, how many careers are salvaged or launched because of a transfer?
Yeah, I don't know. Are coaches better at identifying guys that aren't bad apples, or are guys transferring quicker? So actually, like, back in the day, most of the guys that transferred were more likely
around transferring was, oh, you don't quit on your team just because you're the backup. And now it's like, well, why? Like, I want to play. I want to have a career mm-hmm. doing this. If you're Justin Fields, I want to go to Ohio State. I'm going to start. If you're Joe Burrow, I want to go, which is actually kind of weird since they both, you know, whatever, but it was time. Between the transfers. But Joe Burrow, like, he went from a guy who would have rode the bench for 3 years, maybe got a couple of snaps here and there, to a Heisman winner. Like, I just don't think he wins the Heisman if he stays at Ohio State. Justin Fields doesn't start over Fromm this year if he stays at Georgia. He goes mm-hmm. to Ohio State. He leads him to the playoff. It's just, I mean, Jalen Hurts would have played some after Tua's injury this year, but he wouldn't have had near the year that he had at Oklahoma. He wouldn't have been able to improve his draft stock the way he did by going to Oklahoma. So,
yeah.
I mean, and I realize we're kind of focusing on quarterbacks, but I'd say it's probably true of all positions.
Hell, Alvin Kamara went to Alabama, came here, still didn't get used that much, and, of course, killing it in the NFL. But, Like
he was both the transfer and a JUCO guy because he went from Alabama to Hutch.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's kind of changing. Like,
well, and the good news for Tennessee is that they have coaches that recruit in a way where if you miss on a guy, that's why you can't be like, we didn't want him anyway anymore. Like, you just have to eliminate that from your vernacular.
Because it could still circle back around and be Cade Mays, right? And he shows up, and now, oh, yeah, we love five stars.
Jay Hardy might be starting for the Tennessee defense in 3 years. You never know.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Except the Quay Walker guy. You spiked the Tennessee hat. I really don't want him. Would not take him as a transfer.
Yeah, he said he regrets it.
Yeah, he's back in. I'd take him. That's a good point. He apologized, kind of.
Cade Mays sung the song and, you know, hated on Tennessee. The whole thing now.
It's all about forgiveness, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Transgressions and.
Well, to tie this back into the basketball topic, Jimmy Dykes tweeted, "Cannot imagine any scenario where D'Souza ever plays another game at Kansas."
Really?
Eyes are once again on kick KU, him out not of, for the right reasons.
Kick him out of the game. Is he a freshman, Davey? Is he a first year player?
Looking that up.
Now, that's what – I mean, I was quick reading an article during the break, and that's what it said. It was like, this guy was supposed to come in and give Kansas a real boost, and all he's done is cause trouble with Bill Self and the NCAA, and now he's, you know, causing a brawl.
Not even any good.
Not what you bargained for.
I know. Yeah,
he's a junior.
He's a junior?
Mm-hmm.
Did he not play last year?
Let me pull up his stats.
Interesting.
He played as a freshman, 8 minutes, 4 points, four rebounds.
These are his averages?
Games back in 2017-18. And then the corruption trial hit. So I know he sat out some. I just can't remember when. And
yeah, there's somewhere. No stats for the 18-19 season.
There you
Interesting.
Go. We'll come back, hit a quick break here. It's hour three. Stick with us on Three and Out. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. This segment brought to you by Cataloochee Ski Area. Oh, baby. This cold weather, they've been making snow like crazy. Mountain is covered.
Is it ever too cold to ski?
It's too cold to ski, but the best thing, this sneaky piece of, like, quick skiing advice. Like, I've been looking at other places farther north. And the last few days, it's been like 5 degrees, 10 degrees. I was like, it's pretty cold and windy and nasty to ski in that. At Cataloochee, it's really cold for a while. They make a bunch of snow. Then it warms up. The last 3 or 4 times I've been there, it's been like 60 degrees. So you get the best of both worlds. It gets cold enough. They make a bunch of snow while you're not there. And then on a nice day, I mean, hell, like today, you just show up. It's 50 degrees outside, but the mountain's full of snow.
It's amazing.
I know. It's right there in Maggie Valley, hour and 45 minutes from downtown Knoxville. And, of course, if you're out east anywhere, easier to get to than that, really easy to get to right off the interstate. It's exit 20 and then just right through the valley on the, I mean, 4-lane highway. Easy to get to right up the mountain and you're there. It's Cataloochee.com for all the information. And they'll be, I mean, they've got a ton of snow now, so it'll be really good conditions from now through March probably. It was rough earlier than January. So warm, and then it rained a lot. Warm rain, that's bad for the mountain.
Yeah, but probably not good for snow, is it?
But this past week, I mean, just cool things. You can check out the camera so you can see what it looks like before you go. Cataloochee.com.
Never skied.
Never?
No. Never snowboarded. I love snow. I just never did it. Sorry. I know you're disappointed.
I am. Well, no, not really. Last year, I had never until last year.
Oh, really?
So it's not too late.
I thought you were a big-time skier.
Well, I'm now. I'm addicted.
Brandon is flashing chocolate through the window. You're never going to get any of that back.
He's tawny.
Oh, it's the Millennium Falcon. Oh, send me a bite of that Falcon.
Oh, I hid mine.
Star Wars. Yeah, you did.
I got a few items I didn't want to share.
It's nice of you.
I got you what you asked for.
Yeah, you did. You did. Chocolate popcorn.
I'm sure the good folks at Bradley's and Knoxville Chocolate Company would hook you up.
No, I'll be making a pit stop
if you miss anything. You know, if Valentine's
Do we just
right
get? Is he going to bring bags of chocolate every day? Like just
daily?
Keep us.
I don't know about daily.
Keep us stocked.
I don't know.
It was worth a shot.
I mean, he's one of the 37, so maybe.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Love partnering with businesses that are also fans. Part of fan. I mean, it's perfect, really.
So, Antonio Brown was in the news again yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, it was more of a Kansas-type story than a...
What? I saw all the police. His house in Hollywood, Florida. A bunch of police showed up. There was a moving truck. They were trying to get somebody for battery. Did anything ever come of this, or was it kind of just a... I mean, they had, like, helicopters circle the house so they could get footage. I mean, it's, like, a really big deal. It just seems like nothing with Antonio Brown will end in anything other than tragedy at this point.
Right, right.
Like, I just feel like this is a... I said it last week. Like, it went from being kind of funny to now just really, really sad. What happened yesterday?
Well, it was his... There was some delivery company.
It was a... Okay. Someone said it was something. A moving truck.
Moving. Yeah, so, no, that's what I meant.
Okay.
Not...
Were they moving stuff to wrong, or away?
Wrong word.
Okay.
I don't know that anybody knows that, but it was his, Antonio Brown's driver?
Trainer.
I'm all discombobulated.
Yeah. He and his trainer allegedly battered the driver of a moving truck outside of his Hollywood residence. He is not in custody, has not been arrested. The criminal investigation is ongoing. The trainer, Glenn Holt, was charged with one count of felony burglary and battery. He was booked into jail last night. Apparently, Antonio Brown hired the moving truck to bring some of his belongings from wherever to his residence in Hollywood, Florida. And I guess they tried to settle the tab, and Brown didn't want to do that.
There's a Hollywood Police Athletic League that Brown had given money to, and they've disassociated with him now. They've given him his money back.
Thanks. Oh, they did give it back?
Yeah.
I guess that's good.
They want a conflict of interest, I guess. Huh.
I feel
just
like,
not that much info,
man,
on
this. Man,
this.
Like, this is going to be like a weekly thing, I'm afraid. Like, until he needs help. Like, I don't know.
Rosenhaus
who,
said
I don't know who helps. Didn't Rosenhaus say I'm out?
Well, he said I'm not going to represent him until he gets
right, yeah.
help. And then,
I feel like if Drew Rosenhaus is saying no...
Yeah.
To
money?
Yeah. Like, it's probably pretty bad.
Potential for money.
Right.
And then Adam Schefter reported it, and then Antonio Brown tweeted that they deserved a bag of, you know.
Parts?
Yeah.
Mail?
Right. That. Davey's showing us.
Yeah,
not John. On camera.
That's still up there? Really? It's like 2 years later. How about that?
It was after West Virginia game.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing really dies in the Fan Run Studios. It just becomes part of the ambiance.
Yeah, we just kind of store it and it just sits
that's,
around.
I mean, that's
people
what's
complain.
A,
and
that's what's right.
Yeah, pests but show up.
Those King Rolls with some chocolate on them might be pretty good.
Oh, you're not kidding.
I'd give that a shot.
Yeah.
And they're probably stale.
Yeah, they're probably bad. Probably won't eat them.
The chocolate's too good to mix with something.
Yeah,
like
you don't
that.
Want to ruin it. You just don't want to do that.
I thought you didn't like chocolate that much. Is that you? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
I like chocolate more than I like Skittles.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like a big chocolate guy, but I mean,
yeah.
I would much rather have that than fruity flavors.
That's what I'm thinking about. You don't like sweet tarts and the
no.
hard candies.
Mm-mm. Sour stuff, not a big fan. Kind of like Davey. Give me cavities in no time.
It's not a cavity. It's an exposed nerve.
Mm.
Maybe we should have a chocolate something in the SEC Survivor next year.
That's not a punishment. Probably won't do it.
I mean, it could be like the gluttony, like too much chocolate.
I feel like not that much chocolate is probably too much chocolate. Like, I feel like that's a low bar for how much is too much. I feel like chocolate would not take much for you to be like, I don't feel very good about all this chocolate.
Yeah, it might be a good punishment.
Could be worse. It's like when Billy had to eat that banana split. Like,
you have to eat a whole chocolate cake, like in Matilda.
Oof.
Couldn't do it. I don't like chocolate cake.
No chocolate cake?
I mean,
what about
it's
yellow
fine.
Cake, chocolate icing? Is that good?
One of my favorites. Might be okay.
That is a good cake.
That'd be fine.
That's the thing. It's like some chocolates can be so like rich.
Yeah, exactly.
That after just a few bites, you're just like, man, I can't do
I'm
it.
Done here. It's too much. It's too sweet. Your mouth gets that weird feeling.
What about red velvet?
Isn't red velvet chocolate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I asked you that. I love red velvet. Cream cheese icing.
Yeah, that's the difference. It's the cream cheese icing.
It's delicious.
Is that your go-to?
Now I'm just hungry.
Is that your go-to? I know.
That's probably my favorite.
It's because we got a bunch of chocolate out there. That's all I can think about. It's like, man, kind of wish he had come right at the end of the show so I didn't have to be sitting here thinking about how much of this chocolate popcorn I'm going to stuff down my throat. Life's hard. I mean, seriously, how am I supposed to focus over here?
I keep looking right past you.
I know, and I see it out of the corner of my eye, and I'm just like, is it still there? Yep. It's still there. This is brutal. Still got 20 minutes of the show.
That's nothing.
15, really.
Yeah, this segment's almost 13. Over.
I mean, I feel like I don't know what to talk about. I can think about it. Is this chocolate?
I think, I know basketball has been a little bumpy this season, but where are we on the temperature of the athletic department? I mean, I feel like we ask the turn the corner question pretty often for individual sports, but how about the whole damn thing? Won the bowl game, turned the season around, recruiting, we talked about that earlier in the show, going better. The basketball team is at least not in the bottom tier of the SEC at minimum and could be much better if these, you know, new players start playing better. If Josiah James continues to gradually improve on the offensive end.
Honestly, I feel like this could be probably an entire show topic, but I feel as if the fan base has been just proven right over and over and over.
You love to see it.
I mean, you had your reservations about Kelly Jolly Harper. I think she's doing a really good job in year one. Obviously, recruiting's good. She's going to have all of her players in here soon enough, but I think she's going to be a really good coach. Jeremy Pruitt, little bumpy to start the year, finished it in style. You mentioned the recruiting. Tony Vitello, who was obviously hired by John Curry, but I think he got a contract extension or a raise this past year. Like, Fulmer made sure to take care of him.
Well, the facilities, too. They obviously have a plan.
Yeah, they have the 5-year plan or whatever for facilities. It's like everybody that laughs at Tennessee, the Pat Fortys, the who's my guy? With CBS,
Dennis Dodd,
yeah, all these guys, they were just trying to dunk on Tennessee and their fan base for saying, no, like, this is the guy, that's not the coach. I mean, it's nice, like, there's no bad drama right now. Like, it's, hey, can you get that 5-star? Can you get that 4-star? Who's going to transfer to Tennessee away from one of your rivals or at least a team that you're kind of trying to be like? I mean, you got Cade Mays. You stole D'Angelo Gibbs 2 years ago. Like, I don't know. It's like somehow we went from, boy, things cannot get any worse than this, to everything is at least seemingly pointed in the right direction. Now, as is the case with anything, things happen. You got to keep the cup at arm's reach. But right now, like, no news is good news. Everything's just kind of going according to plan. Yeah, you wish basketball was a little bit better this year, but at least you see the light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Yeah. Like, imagine being
a Missouri fan right now. Like, you hired Konzo 2 years ago. You were so excited, and now you're thinking maybe NIT this year, and there's no help on the way. At least if you're a Tennessee fan, it's like, yeah, we might not make the tournament this year, but look at the 5-stars coming in this year, and look at the recruiting for 2 years down the road. Like, everything's setting up positively. It's weird. It's weird to come in here and not just be mad. I feel like we were mad for 2 or 3 years coming in every day on the show. There was always some embarrassing story, right? The Title IX thing. There was the lawsuit against Butch Jones. It was always something. Obviously, the whole coaching search and athletic director search. Like, it was just a mess. Now we just get to come in and talk about sports that are fun, enjoyable, and, like, you can be optimistic about them and not feel like you're lying to yourself.
Yeah. Feels good.
I like not lying to myself.
That's a good practice. You should be true to yourself. And your point about Tennessee fan base is spot on. We'll come back. Final segment of the program. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment of the program, live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Need to remind you, if you want to get your bets in for college basketball or the Super Bowl, MyBookie is the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. Heard from an out-of-state listener yesterday asking about MyBookie. Podcast listener, time zone difference. So shouts out to all you guys listening on the pod. We appreciate you guys supporting the sponsors, making our jobs possible here at Fan Run Radio. Use promo code Knoxville for MyBookie. That lets them know you heard about them right here. Play, win, get paid with MyBookie. MyBookie.com. Use promo code Knoxville. You can still turn down deposit bonuses and not have to deal with those rollovers when you sign up. And it's really easy to bet on the phone, just through their website, on your phone, and, of course, on any device. You can do it at MyBookie.com. Last night, SEC basketball, of course, Tennessee got the win 73-48. Talked a ton about that. Georgia lost to Kentucky 89-79. At Rupp. It was pretty close for a while. It was pretty exciting. LSU at home beat Florida.
Boy, they tried to lose that, didn't they?
84-82. Will Wade went berserk.
Weren't they up 11 with like a minute 20?
They must have been, because I feel like I must have tuned out at some point and went in the other room when I thought they were going to win, and then I just saw the score on the ticker later during the Tennessee game. And I was like, what? Okay. And then I just saw somebody tweet this, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but apparently Missouri made like every free throw for the game.
And the previous game. I think they'd made like 50 in a row.
Yeah, I never was able to confirm it, but I saw that they had hit, I think, 54 in a row, which was a record for the NCAA, but then to tie the game up, they missed that one.
Oh, man, you hate to see that.
I feel bad for the kid, but that... What are you going to do? It's kind of fitting.
They lost at home, right, to Texas A&M, maybe the worst team in the conference.
I was wrong. LSU was up 11 with 3:24 to go. And then Florida just kept cranking threes. And then they missed a tip-in at the buzzer. They had 0.5, I think, on the clock. They run the perfect inbounds play. The guy catches it, goes up for a layup, makes it, but he held on to the ball just a bit too long, didn't get the shot off in time.
So LSU is still undefeated in conference play?
That is correct. It was tough. I did not know who I wanted to win last night because I hate both of these teams. And then LSU started pulling away, and I was like, all right, whatever. And then Florida started coming back, and I was like, do I want Florida to win? Kind of muddy things up a little bit. And they had it. They had a chance. I mean, they probably shouldn't have. I mean, you're down 11 with 3 minutes to go on the road.
I mean, LSU is eventually going to have to vacate these seasons anyway.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But right now, there's only two teams in the SEC ranked in the top 25. You've got Kentucky at 15th and Auburn at 16th.
Yeah, yeah.
But Tennessee right now is currently tied for third in the SEC with Florida at 4-2.
I mean, it's bad when your league isn't as good as it's supposed to be because it hurts your resume late, but the flip side is maybe we're underrating Tennessee's chances to beat a lot of these teams. I mean, hell, if you could somehow split with Kentucky, I mean, I feel like...
You only get Florida once, but you get them at home.
If you win that one, which I know that's a big if,
We only have LSU once, too, don't we? We don't go
is
to Baton Rouge.
Too? We went to Baton Rouge last year.
No, we played them this year already.
Oh, right, right.
We lost.
So that should be it.
Yeah, that's the only time we play them.
Okay.
It's okay, just making sure.
So, I mean, there's two with Kentucky, two with Auburn, and the Florida one. Those are the ones people have been writing off as losses ever since, like, Lamonte's out.
And then, Arkansas, Mississippi State, kind of, maybe.
But,
yeah.
I mean, but I don't know. I feel like every night I'm going to feel like Tennessee has a chance to win. It's just you got to try and limit losses to teams that are, you know, Georgia and worse.
Yeah, those last five games of the season are going to be kind of difficult. You got...
Oh, it's the toughest five-game stretch anyone has in the SEC, and, of course, that's how we end our season.
At Auburn, at Arkansas, hosting Florida, and then close out at Kentucky,
Auburn. Silver lining, though. You got two guys that became eligible during the season.
No, yeah, I'm with you.
Maybe that, I mean, if let's say you're 3-2 somehow.
You really should be at
two
your
and
best
three
at
even.
That point, yeah.
Like, it might, if they can elevate to a level that we haven't seen recently, more back to kind of earlier in the season and kind of find... I mean, hell, if they start playing really good defense, I know these last two not great litmus test, but if there's a chance.
Feed
well,
we the
got folk. A, we got a real fight on our hands this weekend.
It was 63-62 see what you did there. 63-62 when Konzo squad.
Got to bring our toughness.
Throw, 28 seconds left.
And Barstools.
Yikes.
Yeah, they make that padding undergarment now. Like the spandex
right,
with the pads in it. Might be a good idea.
The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.